Imagine clinging to the rain-slick netting of a storm-battered balloon thousands of feet above the raging Pacific Ocean. Five men and a dog dangle precariously as their gondola and vital supplies plummet into the churning waters below. Through sheets of driving rain, they catch their first glimpse of land just as their failing craft begins its final descent. This desperate scene marks the beginning of an extraordinary journey for these castaways. Escaped Union prisoners who fled Richmond during the Civil War's final months by commandeering a Confederate observation balloon. The group represents a remarkable collection of skills. Cyrus Harding, a brilliant engineer. Gideon Spilett, a sharp-minded reporter. Neb, whose loyalty to Harding stems from their shared past. The seasoned sailor Pencroft, and 15-year-old Herbert Brown, who possesses a passionate interest in natural history. Their dramatic arrival turns tragic when Harding is swept away by a massive wave, disappearing before his companions' horrified eyes. Unlike traditional castaway stories where survivors salvage provisions from convenient shipwrecks, these men face their situation with absolutely nothing. No tools, no weapons, no supplies, not even a match. Yet in these opening moments, we witness the emergence of qualities that will define their struggle. Resourcefulness, loyalty, and remarkable resilience when faced with seemingly impossible odds.
We have nothing, but we will make everything. This declaration becomes the group's operating principle after Harding's return. What follows showcases remarkable human ingenuity and applied knowledge. With just one match, Harding creates a burning glass using water-filled watch crystals to focus sunlight. They build kilns for pottery and construct a primitive blast furnace for iron tools. Each solution builds upon the previous one in a chain of technological advancement. Most impressive is Harding's creation of nitroglycerin to blast open an outlet for a lake, revealing Granite House. This transformation, from drafty caves to a secure home, symbolizes their journey from vulnerability to self-sufficiency. These achievements compel because they're grounded in actual science and practical knowledge. Unlike adventure tales relying on coincidences, this story presents a credible progression of problem-solving through human effort and intelligence. Knowledge proves to be their most valuable resource in overcoming adversity.
The castaways soon call themselves colonists rather than survivors, people building something lasting instead of merely awaiting rescue. They name their home Lincoln Island, after the American president, reflecting their values of cooperation and progress. Their social structure forms naturally, with Harding leading through knowledge rather than force. Each member contributes according to his strengths. Neb handles domestic duties, Pencroft manages maritime affairs, Spilett documents their experiences, and Herbert applies his natural history knowledge. Within months, they establish agriculture, animal husbandry, manufacturing, and industry. They build bridges, a telegraph system, and plan an exploration vessel. Their windmill, pottery kiln, brick factory, and forge transform wilderness into settlement. Most remarkable is their fundamental harmony. Despite occasional disagreements, they operate with unity of purpose, making decisions democratically, with Harding guiding rather than commanding. Even when debating how to handle threatening pirates, they resolve differences through reasoned discussion, a vision of human society at its best. While establishing their settlement, inexplicable events suggest they may not be alone. Harding inexplicably survives being swept away, found miles from where he should have drowned, with no memory of his rescue. The mysterious interventions multiply. Top being projected from the lake as if lifted. A waterproof chest with exactly the tools they need. A modern rifle bullet in hunted game. Their canoe's mysterious return. A guiding fire when lost at sea. Life-saving medicine appearing beside Herbert's sickbed during his fever. Each intervention occurs precisely during crises, suggesting not just presence, but intelligence. The timing and specificity cannot be dismissed as luck.
The colonists feel both grateful for and unsettled by this unseen benefactor. Some, like Pencroft, argue they should find their protector. Others, particularly Harding, advocate respecting the being's apparent desire for privacy. This tension sparks debates about gratitude and whether true charity exists when the giver remains anonymous, transforming their survival story into a mystery that drives the narrative forward. The moral heart of the story emerges through Ayrton, a castaway who had regressed to an animal-like state after 12 years on Tabor Island. Once a criminal involved in piracy and murder, he was marooned as punishment, with the promise of return if he proved worthy. Under the colonists' care, Ayrton regains his humanity and confesses his past. Harding offers grace. "You have been a great criminal, but heaven must certainly think that you have expiated your crimes. Ayrton, you are forgiven." This transforms him into a devoted community member. Ayrton's redemption parallels Captain Nemo's revelation as their mysterious benefactor. Nemo, too, committed violence fighting oppression. His assistance represents his path toward reconnecting with humanity after years of isolation. On his deathbed, Nemo seeks Harding's judgment about his past. The engineer responds, "Your error was in believing that the past can be resurrected, but you have nothing to fear from the judgment of history," reflecting a nuanced approach to guilt, atonement, and forgiveness. For all their ingenuity, the colonists ultimately confront forces beyond control when Lincoln Island's volcano reawakens, a humbling reminder of nature's overwhelming power and human limitations. The eruption progresses from thin smoke wisps to violent tremors, with volcanic ash falling like black snow. These initial disturbances pale compared to the explosive eruptions, lava rivers, and toxic gases that force them to abandon their settlement. Harding discovers seawater will inevitably breach the wall between Dakar Grotto and the volcano shaft. Lincoln Island is doomed. The very forces that created their paradise will destroy it. The final chapters become a desperate race against time. Years of work will soon vanish, and their nearly completed vessel, their only escape hope, might not be finished in time. When the final explosion obliterates Lincoln Island, leaving only a single rock formation where they cling to life, their survival depends not on their own resources, but on Captain Nemo's foresight, which leads to their rescue. Throughout their extraordinary ordeal, the colonists' greatest strength lies in their unity. Unlike survival stories that emphasize individual heroism or descend into conflict, this narrative presents cooperation as fundamental to overcoming adversity. Each colonist contributes unique skills. Harding's scientific leadership, Spilett's communication abilities, Pencroft's seamanship, Neb's loyalty and domestic skills, Herbert's natural knowledge, and Ayrton's agricultural expertise. Together, they overcome challenges that would overwhelm any individual. Their unity contrasts with the pirates who temporarily occupy the island, escaped convicts whose fleeting alliances crumble when threatened. This lack of genuine trust contributes to their downfall, serving as a counterpoint to the colonists' successful social model. By the conclusion, the colonists form bonds so profound they choose to remain together even after rescue. Using Captain Nemo's treasure, they establish a colony in Iowa, naming features after their island paradise, reinforcing that true civilization is built not just on technology, but on human bonds and collective purpose.